Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
Sports Radio 1043 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
All right, good morning. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you had a fantastic weekend. A lot of rain out there.
Oh, no.
What's that? You don't get it. Do you hear me? Hello? Hello, Mark Schlereth. Mark Schlereth, do you hear me? Oh, geez. Okay. Careful. See, Benny, get in there quick, because Mark's just going to keep pushing buttons. Is this on? Is this on? And before you know it, it's just going to be, you got me? I don't hear you.
Hold on.
Ah, there you are.
Hey. I thought maybe it got too hot in the Sweatbox studio and then the equipment started burning up or something. All right, there we go.
Yeah, there you are. You're in the hot box, which is for those who, and Denver, you just heard Mark's first sip of coffee.
I'm not even aware I do it.
First just, of many.
Yeah.
Probably at least six or seven more throughout the course of the show.
Sure.
So, yeah. How was your weekend? There's another one.
It was great. It was. I thought you were going to talk for a second. My weekend flew by. It was good though. Got some work around the house. I killed a big part of. I called it Raider grass.
I saw that. I was going to ask you your Man 101 video.
Yeah.
How to kill Raider grass.
Right. Well, it's
why the Oakland Raiders are no more.
Why do you call it Raider grass?
Well, because I hated that grass. I just hated the way that grass grew all sideways.
Why not
sideways.
Chief grass or, cowboy grass or Charger grass, Patriots grass? Oh, no, I love the Patriots.
I don't hate those teams as much as I hate the Raiders. I mean, that's what it boils down to. It was hateful Raider grass, so I killed it all. And now I killed it. I got a bunch of people on social media acting like they're like grass experts. You know what you should do is shut up. What do you mean what I should? I've been doing this for 45, 50 years. I was working in the yard when I was a 7 year old. Other than football, these are the only two things I know about.
So would you consider yourself a grass professional?
Well, I would consider myself like I could go right to work for some landscaper. I could do irrigation. I can do I would consider myself a landscape professional. I mean, that's what I worked in all through high school, all through college. That's what I did. Now, albeit in Alaska, but still, it's still grass. It's still irrigation. It's still, making your yard look nice. Yeah.
I would consider you a professional, sure.
Sure, why not?
Absolutely. Hey, happy birthday over the weekend to John Elway.
Yeah, I saw that.
I'm 52 or 51.
No, you're not 52 or 51. John Elway had his birthday over the weekend. John Elway, is it 60 now?
60.
60, the big 6-0 for John Elway. Boy, for a great number of you listening right now, how does that make you feel? How old does that make you feel? Growing up rooting for John Elway, cheering on John Elway?
I'm 52 or 51.
Now you're 60.
Right.
I'm 60.
Does it make you feel old?
No.
You?
No. No.
You weren't cheering for John Elway. You've never liked the guy.
No, that's not. You hot snot, you. I see what you're doing there.
Yeah.
I see you.
Yeah.
I see you.
Now, happy birthday to John.
What were your impressions of him when you came here from Washington? What were your impressions coming in, and then what was the reality?
Well, I mean, he was NFL royalty at that time, right? I mean, that's what he was, and I really didn't, it wasn't like we hung out. We never hung out or anything. I just watched from afar and, just to see what he was all about. He was a good teammate, Showed up even though I always say this is the thing that's most impressive about John is he had, you know, he had the right to be a prima donna if he wanted to, just because the world gives you that right when you are exceptional at things. I don't know why they do decide to do that, but that's what they do. You know, they put you on a pedestal and they treat you like royalty, and the world will do that to you. That's just kind of human nature when you hit a certain celebrity status, but John never took advantage of it. I guess that's what I respected so much about him.
Did he still have game when you got here? Or had he?
Oh, no, he could play. He could even when he retired after winning that Super Bowl, he could have kept playing. He still had plenty of game on Sunday. You know, it's the willingness to prepare Monday through Saturday that'll get you, that gets us all, except Brady, apparently. But it gets us all at some point.
I was watching highlights of him over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of another quarterback. Perhaps some people on the Ramoslaw.com text line can come up with some. 303-713-1043. I just can't recall a guy who so effortlessly threw the deep ball like he did. I mean, you know, most guys throw deep balls and it's kind of just, you know,
laborious.
Gear up, heave up, and let her fly. Whereas he could do it seemingly just with a, you know, flick of the wrist. I mean, most guys throw 60-yard bombs and it's like, woo, way up in the air. His was like on a line.
Yeah. Yeah, he certainly had a hose. There's no question about it.
I mean, you've been around this game forever. Can you find a comparable QB that could throw the deep ball like that?
Brett Favre.
Showtime!
Favre had that kind of...
That kind of hose?
Oh, yeah. Favre did it like... It wasn't as effortless, but that's because Favre wanted to make it look, you know.
Right.
I mean, Favre was playing a game within his own head, you know. He's like, what's this? Ah. So
I'm talking about making it look effortless.
Yeah, Favre had that ability. I tell you, the guy who threw the ball that I think was the prettiest, just the prettiest throw, was Warren Moon.
I was thinking about him.
Now,
I was wondering if he
didn't have the same type
belonged.
Of velocity, but he just had, like, the pretty, like, Kurt Warner never threw spirals. You know, Kurt Warner was accurate and on time and all that. His ball always wobbled. Like, Warren Moon's ball was just tightly spun, you know? I mean, it was just beautiful out of his hand.
How about Randall Cunningham?
Randall kind of wound up.
Yeah.
Randall had a longer delivery,
okay.
You know, it was kind of a wind-up. Elway could just let it eat. Elway's like that pitcher that throws 98 that it doesn't, like, it looks
effortless.
Just completely effortless 98 just coming out of his hand.
Like I watched, like, all right, so, like, Max Scherzer's Favre.
Right.
You know, Scherzer is like, you see the effort.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
But then you see these other guys who are so smooth. I don't know, like maybe a...
Syndergaard.
I was just going to say, maybe Syndergaard, just where it's just... Easy, 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 and then
just easy cheese.
Easy cheese.
Yeah.
Easy gas.
Yeah, it is. Those guys.
Easy cheddar.
Right. Those guys are amazing. Just how effortless they throw with such velocity. I was watching the Bartman game the other night, and just how Mark Pryor was absolutely dealing. You know, just, I mean, dealing and sitting 94, 95, just effortless 94, 95. And, you know, that was years ago, so that was a little bit, at that time, not a lot of starting pitchers had 95 in the tank.
Well, happy birthday to John Elway, 60 years young. Coming up at 6:30, the Morning Brew, Cam Newton to the Patriots. What does that all mean? But up next, the Broncos Super Bowl defense earned themselves quite an honor over the weekend. We'll tell you about it next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans here. People care about three things when buying a vehicle. Number one, price. Siltahar Motors has the best prices and financing options, such as zero money down or 0% financing for 84 months. Number two, selection. Siltahar has over 1,800 new and used cars on site and at sthmotors.com. And number three, location. Siltahar is right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth, and they will deliver any vehicle to your home for a test drive or after purchase. Visit sthmotors.com and get everything you want out of a dealership.
Quite the honor for the Denver Broncos 2015 Super Bowl winning defense. Number three.
That was your third coffee.
You heard that?
Oh, yes.
Really?
Did you hear that, Benny? Third coffee gulp of the morning already. Huh. You are just shotgunning that stuff.
Yeah.
Man, oh, yeah. Man.
I did not realize.
You are
this,
not
this
a...
This is a very sensitive mic.
You are not a coffee drinker. You are a coffee...
Gulper.
Gulper.
I gulp coffee.
Man, you too. So the Denver Broncos 2015 defense voted the best of the decade.
Wow.
Even ahead of some of those Legion of Boom defenses.
Yeah.
You agree with that lofty number one perch there?
I think so. I mean, when you look at what they were able to do, I mean, you think about what they did, Mike. Not only did they drag that offense in which Peyton Manning was hurt, benched, sat for 7 weeks with Brock Osweiler. Like now, you know, revisionist history, when you look back at it and you look what became of Brock Osweiler, and how Peyton actually played. At that point, he had like 7 TDs and 18 interceptions or something when he sat down. When you look at that from that perspective, you know, the 30,000-foot view of what that team was and how that team drugged them through. That defense drugged them through the playoffs and to a world championship. And then who did they beat the playoffs? They beat New England in the championship game. Who did they beat in the
Pittsburgh?
Come on, Pittsburgh and New England? And then you beat the MVP Cam Newton? And I mean, not only beat him, but essentially just destroy him.
Never been the same since then. He's never been the same.
No. Yeah, I saw Aqib Talib tweet something about, them boys was different or something.
He said,
it was my
yes,
favorite
sir.
Team.
Them boys was different. My favorite team ever.
Yeah.
Derek Carr. Tweeting out, that defense was ridiculous, even though I don't want to give that team credit ever. Then with a little winky eye emoji.
Oh, the winky eye.
The winky eye.
Yeah.
Word.
Yeah.
We didn't have great eyes.
That defense, the thing about that defense, two things that stood out to me. One, the unrelenting pressure.
Uh-huh.
Two, the just mano a mano, here it is, this is what we do. Come get a taste.
Right.
Man on man all over the field. We dare you to beat us one on one. Find a matchup. We think every one of our guys can beat your guy one on one. See what you can do.
Right.
And they couldn't. And the other thing that stood out was their ability to not only create turnovers, but seemingly create turnovers on demand. Turnovers are hard to come by in the NFL. That defense was almost like, well, you know what? They could really use an interception right here. Boom! They get one.
Right.
You know, they could really use a sack to knock this team out of field goal position. Done. Did it. There was a game, I think was it at Cleveland? Yeah, it was at Cleveland. They won 26-23 in overtime. And it just seemed like a game that they were destined to lose. And I think a couple times late in that game, even in overtime, Cleveland was in position to kick a game-winning field goal, and the Broncos just pushed him back.
Yeah, got a sack,
forced a holding penalty or whatever, just pushed him right back. I mean, that defense was just stifling.
Right. And then when you look at it compared to, what were the other defenses on there? There was a 2013.
Seattle.
Seattle was on there. But come on, they ran the ball with Marshawn Lynch. They had, you know, a young Russell Wilson. They had a little bit more on the other side of the ball to work with. Who else? What other defenses were on there?
Let me see here. Let me find the list here. Oh, geez. Benny, can I get some,
Everything music right off the bat.
Right off the bat. Right off the bat. The 2015 Broncos, number one, 2018 Bears.
The Bears.
But they Bears. Lost.
Yeah, Bears are
playoffs.
Scary, though. That defense,
that
though.
That wasn't their fault. That was the double doink game.
That defense, though, was legit nasty.
2017 Jaguars lost in the AFC Conference Championship game to the Patriots.
Okay, now that defense was great, too, right? Because they had Ramsey, was Boye on that team?
Boye, Fowler.
They had Calais Campbell.
Calais Campbell.
Ngakoue, Yannick Ngakoue.
And then they had the Seahawks number 4, the one that beat the Broncos in the Super Bowl.
I would have put the Seahawks number two. I mean, I put the Broncos number one. I have no problem there, but I put the Seahawks number two. I mean, they won the Super Bowl, for goodness sake.
Yeah.
I mean, they took that. They shut down.
Arguably the best offense ever. Yeah, I agree with you on that one. I'd move the Seahawks. Legion of Boom, the linebacking core that they had with K.J. Wright. They still have that linebacking core. K.J. Wright and Bobby Wagner. I don't know who else was the other linebacker. They were legit. Yeah, I'm with you on that one. But a really cool honor for the Broncos.
The other thing, too, about that Broncos defense is that they got no help from the offense, and there was a very slim margin of error for this team. I mean, mm-hmm. when you go back and look at all the games that they won by seven or less points, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. 11 of their 15 wins that season were by 7 points or less.
So that would be one-score games?
A one-score game.
Uh-huh. That's how we say the business.
Yes.
We say one-score game.
In the TV biz.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing. That was an and you said it. Their ability to impose their will upon you and say, here's what we're going to be in. Come get a taste, you know? Mm-hmm. Come, let's go. Let's roll. I mean, they did. They had some. You know, as Aqib Talib would say, they had some dogs.
They had some dogs on that
team. Oh, my gosh.
Where did they have dogs? Dogs all over the place.
Oh, every level.
Vaughn, D-Ware.
Wolf.
Jackson.
Malik Jackson.
Trevathan.
Danny Trevathan.
Was right, yeah. Trevathan was there. Talib, Ward.
Yeah.
Darian Stewart.
Chris Harris Jr.
Dogs, man. Dogs all over the place.
Amazing.
Well, okay. When you look at that defense, and then you look at this defense on paper, where do you see some similarities? I hope you see some.
Vaughn still plays here.
That's it? That's it. Okay. Here's where I see some similarities.
Okay, good. Help me out.
Up front, the defensive line. There is the potential for a Bradley Chubb, Von Miller tandem to be every bit as dominant and productive as Vaughn and D-Ware. Maybe Vaughn slips into the D-Ware role and Chubb more into the Vaughn role.
I get that, you know.
And then inside, you've got Harris. You've got... you know, Jarrell Casey.
Right.
Mike Purcell.
Right.
Draymond Jones.
Right.
I think at least up front there are some potential similarities.
Again, potential similarities. Like we're putting, does anybody, I know that people have commented on Bradley Chubb and how good he looks and how well he's moving and all those things, right? Has anybody looked at that and said, like, what is he realistically going to be? I mean, I know, you know, we get, you know, this is a society where we see some guy, we see Paxton Lynch dunking on a video, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, he can dunk on a video. You know,
you're good. You're good. You did, now you extended the smear campaign without even trying.
Yeah. How many days is that?
2018.
But, you know, I mean, there's a difference between doing some drills and looking good in drills and actually being on a field with another guy pushing on you. You know, I mean, I would tell you there's going to be a learning your body curve for Bradley Chubb.
I get that. But remember, this happened after game four. This happened way back in September. So he's going to have, by the time they kick it off for real, he will have had a full year to come back. This wasn't an ACL late in the season type thing.
Well, no, I understand that. But even with that said, the only time you get yourself in shape to play football is to play football. And there is a relearning your body and understanding how things react. And just from the voice of experience, man, that takes time.
Morning Brew coming up next. Will Cam Newton be the starting quarterback for the Patriots when the Broncos meet up with him in week 5? That's next.
Good morning.
Morning.
It's time for your Morning Brew.
Things are going to get weird.
You're going to keep lightning, and you're going to crack thunder.
Okay, this guy needs coffee and cooler stat.
Know what can really help you sort through these important issues? What?
Orange mocha frappuccino!
Damn, Jimmy. This is some serious gourmet s***.
Let's get it on.
Offset eye backs. Armagh offset to the near side. The fake to McCaffrey. Newton's going left to the 10. Newton to the 5. Cam Newton has taken it home.
Panthers radio. Cam Newton signs with the Patriots. A one-year incentive-laden deal. It's really a make-good deal for Newton. Mark, do you expect Cam Newton to be the Patriots starting quarterback when the Broncos play them week 5?
I do. I do expect him to be the starting quarterback. I just wondered, like, there's a part of me that says this is a great fit because one of the things the Patriots do probably better than anybody else is not put you in positions of weakness, but put you in positions of strength. So, how healthy are you? How dynamic can you be? Can you be running an offense very much like the one they're running in Baltimore, for instance? Can we put that in? Can we stress you out? Remember what Baltimore did to New England last year. Absolutely dismantled the New England Patriots. They had no answers for Lamar Jackson in that running game. So can we put Cam back into that kind of environment? Because that's where Cam is at his best. The question mark I would have is, can Cam take the coaching that's brutal? Can you take the brutal coaching that is the New England Patriots? I mean, it's complete honesty. They're not pumping your tires and telling you how great you are. They're telling you how much you suck. And that's how they coach you.
So you really think Josh McDaniels, after over a decade of calling one kind of offense for Tom Brady, is going to create a new kind of offense?
I saw him do it for Jacoby Brissett, and they won a game that way.
That was a game. That was one game.
Absolutely. That's what they do. I'm telling you, that is what they do. Like, a lot of the passing concepts will be the same, Mike, but it'll all be off of zone read, play action stuff, all the junk that, you know, that you look at that they do in Baltimore. I think they'll do a lot of that stuff. He's not as dynamic as obviously Lamar Jackson is, but he's probably a better passer than Lamar.
So you think he'll beat out Jarrett Stidham?
Yeah, I think they'll create an offense and he'll beat out Jarrett Stidham. If healthy, obviously.
Next on the Morning Brew.
Yeah, I like football. I like football season and all the things that go with it.
Okay, time for me to put my tinfoil cap on.
Uh-huh.
You find it interesting that on the day that the Patriots were fined $1 million and docked a third-round pick for their television crews filming the field and sideline during a game between the Bengals and Browns, you find it interesting that on that same day they signed Cam Newton?
No, that's just the ultimate. That's the ultimate news dump right there. They know exact, man. They know exactly.
So you think it was done on purpose?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Hey, man, they could have signed Cam Newton at any time. Any time. That's the ultimate news dump.
Yeah.
Good on them, by the way. And now their crew, their TV production crew, and I'm using air quotes, people, is no longer allowed to go film at other stadiums.
No, really?
Absolutely.
I mean, how paranoid are the New England Patriots that they've got to film Cincinnati, Cleveland?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, think about how...
Leaving no stone unturned.
Exactly. I mean, it doesn't matter. It goes to the extent of it just doesn't matter. Patriots going to Patriot. That's what they're going to do. It's amazing.
But you're right. Had they not signed Newton, lead story would be up. They get busted again for cheating.
Right.
Now, what's the big story? Oh, wow, Cam Newton.
Yeah, it's it.
Oh, Newton to the Patriots. How's that going to work?
I didn't even know that they got fined. I found it out, you know, 6 hours later.
Yep. It was. It now falls into the, oh, by the way, mm-hmm. category. This too. But right. Yes, Newton to the Patriots is seemingly the headliner. Right. Next on the Morning Brew.
Murray, a fake some three, tips his dribble alive and throws it down. Wow, what a play.
TNT, so the Nuggets remaining 8-game schedule to finish out the regular season was announced on Friday. They will play Miami, Oklahoma City, San Antonio, Portland, Utah, the Lakers, the Clippers, and Toronto. And Mark, what's really kind of fascinating about this whole NBA schedule under the bubble is that it's going to be kind of like a Thursday, Friday, March Madness type feel where there's just games going on all day long. I mean, the Nuggets' first game, Saturday, August 1st, tips off at 11 a.m. Mountain Time. They have games at 11, 2, 2, 6, 1:30, and then 7 and 7. So if you're a hoop junkie, this is going to be nirvana for you. You can just settle in. You can watch pro hoops all day long.
Where's it going to be televised at?
Well,
that's the
question. There's the rub.
Right. You have to have tinfoil and a couple of connectors and some old 70s rabbit ears, and you got to pirate a signal off your internet.
Two of their games are on ESPN, two of their games on TNT.
Okay. Well, that's four games.
Two of their games are not on TV. So unless you have it on DirecTV, you won't see it. If you're Comcast, like I guess 90% of Denver is Comcast, you won't see them. So I guess during this long pandemic, the two sides couldn't work out a deal.
Couldn't come to an agreement?
I'll save you from the whole... You know, you would think during these times,
right,
that millionaires and billionaires would be able to get together and work out a deal for the betterment of everybody. No. But if we've learned anything during this whole thing is that money still rules all.
Yes. It's a good point.
You know, don't think the whole idea of that, hey, let's do it for the country.
Don't think that people are going to acquiesce and do the right thing.
No.
Yeah.
Okay. No, that
makes sense.
That cold, harsh reality has been slapped across our face a number of times during this whole thing. Next on the Morning Brew.
A free agency announcement show wasn't the idea of LeBron or his friends or anyone at ESPN. It was pitched by a guy named Drew from Columbus, Ohio, in Bill Simmons's mailbag column. Drew wrote, "What if LeBron announces he will pick his 2010-11 team live on ABC?
ESPN right there, talking about what went into LeBron's The Decision.
Yeah.
It's been activated.
And it was an idea that Bill Simmons back in the day used to write these long columns, opuses for ESPN, and it was a suggestion. ESPN took him up on it, and that's how we got The Decision, which, I'm sorry, that's something that I will always hold against LeBron.
Yeah.
Being a part of that. That was just...
Like, I really don't care.
I know you don't, Vance, but I... taking my talents to South Beach, the whole made-for-TV production,
yeah,
Jim Gray's, you know, solemn... What will it be, LeBron? You know, the whole drawn-out factor.
I didn't watch the whole thing, but it was just so drawn out and contrived. Although... Now, they did raise a couple of $1 million for the Boys and Girls
Club.
Yes,
they did. But, you can't excuse it away just because of that.
It was just a bad look.
It was a bad look. Horrible look. Especially coming on the heels of...
Did you watch that ESPN thing last night they did with LeBron?
I didn't watch the whole thing. I watched some of it. Then I got... I instantly got nauseated by it.
I'm telling you what, though. Just sitting in the chair... That dude is a freak of nature.
Oh, of course he is.
Freak of nature.
But it's just, I don't know, maybe it's coming off the whole Last Dance with Michael and just seeing what a...
I saw the video clip where he said, "This in my mind, this made me the greatest of all time." And then they had that, you know, if you watch the Michael, when he says that, Michael just is watching his computer, just starts laughing. Like, oh kid, nice effort.
It's
been activated.
Not only the fact that he left Cleveland, you know, because it had gotten hard in Cleveland, you know, so let's go join a super team in Miami. And then the not one, not two, not three, you know, and then the way that it all went down with the made for TV, it was just, I don't know. I should probably get over it.
Yeah, you should.
You know, the boomers and the zoomers are probably going to say, hey, what's wrong? There's nothing wrong with that. I don't know.
Okay, boomer.
It just felt like taking the easy way out, and then he took the easy way out in a way that was just, you know, just look at me. Look at me. Let's make a TV special out of this.
You know what I thought was cool? That he brought along with him all his buddies, and they have created a, you know, they have created a huge state, like they've got their own, you know, their own management side and production side. And I mean, they've created an empire. It's just him and his buddies, you know, from like high school or whatever. I think that
that's
part's
great.
Cool.
And that's loyalty. I love all that. Yeah. And LeBron, look, I mean, LeBron is a great, great player. He's an all timer.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's one of the top, you know, seven players of all time.
Seven players of all. I love that.
Well,
yeah.
Would you put him ahead of Michael? No. Would you put him ahead of Kobe? No.
Absolutely.
Would you put him ahead of
Absolutely.
Would I put him ahead of Magic? No.
Bird?
Absolutely.
No.
That's hallowed ground.
No.
Right there, yeah.
Hell no.
Kareem?
Absolutely.
No.
Robert Parrish.
Absolutely.
See, that's why I said top seven. I put him in the, you know.
Oh, goodness. By the way, I...
Millennial Ben making his opinions known through drops.
Right. I made a trip to Home Depot this weekend, pick up some soil for my little project and everything. And I was walking in, and guess who I saw walking in?
Oh.
Masked up, ready to go, hair flipped up on top.
Oh.
Drew Lock.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Drew Lock.
What do you mean his hair flipped up on top? What do you have it in a, like, what, he didn't have one of those buns, did he?
No, he's got the flip-de-do.
Flip-de-do?
Yeah, the front flip-de-do that he wears.
He does have a bit of a flip-de-do, yeah.
Yeah, it's a flip-de-do up top. Yeah. And you know what instantly I thought? I mean, I went right into Vance Joseph. He's tall.
Is he tall?
That's how, if you asked Vance Joseph to describe, like, hey, if the Arizona Cardinals were playing the Broncos, and you say, hey, give us a scouting report on Drew Lock, this is what he would say.
You know, when he's tall.
Yeah, he would say he looked tall.
Did you chat with him?
No. He walked in 10 steps ahead of me.
Oh, okay.
And I wasn't going to chase him
That's
down.
That's too bad, because I would have loved to have seen you go to your old, trusted, hey, Drew, how you doing? You good? You all right? You healthy?
Yeah, at that point, I was in full landscaping gear and mode. Like, I have these shorts I haven't washed in 3 years. Like, that's I was in, and I was on a mission.
On a mission.
Just a mission.
All right.
But I don't know what do you suppose Drew Lock was getting at Home Depot? Think about it.
Good point.
What's your quarterback getting at Home Depot?
Yeah, what's he doing? All right, let's throw that out.
We need our handy dandy.
Let's throw this out to the texters. Okay.
All right.
Have a little fun with this. What was Drew Lock getting at Home Depot when Mark saw him walking in the other day? 303-713-1043.
I mean, was he getting a piece of lumber? Maybe a bucket to throw his football into? I don't know.
All right. Your suggestions. In the meantime, let's say good morning to James Marilat from 1043thefan.com. Hello, James.
Hey, fellas. How you doing?
Doing good. Well. Doing good. Well. Go ahead, Mark.
I was just going to ask James, what do you think Drew Lock was getting at Home Depot?
I don't have any idea, although I know the neighborhood that he lives in, you know, so he's got a nice home.
Oh, you stalked him?
Yeah,
you've
exactly.
Been hanging out in the driveway or whatever?
Kind of like you're stalking him at Home Depot,
right,
though.
Okay.
So. No, you happen to see him there. It's a nice little neighborhood, so there's probably plenty of, you know, things to do to keep the place up. So, you know, those of us that are in the midst of that, we know this is the time. Homeowners. There's always something going on.
Yeah, homeowners. There's always a project going on.
It's never ending.
Yeah.
You agree with the Broncos being rated as the top defense of the decade? What made that 2015 defense so special, so unique?
Well, you know, and it started off in game one, just their ability to make plays. You know, they forced turnovers. Aqib Talib had the pick six in that game. Just constantly doing things that, you know, change the outcome of football games. It's what we didn't see from this defense at all last year, right? Like, this is a group last year that couldn't make a, couldn't get a sack in the first three or four games, couldn't force a turnover, forced very few all year, couldn't help carry a pretty pedestrian offense. That offense in 2015, for the most part, was pedestrian. Now, you know, when they were in Kansas City and they're down seven with 2 minutes left and they needed a touchdown, it was, hey, Peyton, go do your thing. And he led them 80 yards and hit Emmanuel Sanders for a game-tying touchdown. And then they win when Jamal Charles fumbles the ball. But, again, they won that game on a defensive touchdown. It was just a group that had a knack for, you know, not only being able to shut people down, but just making big plays. They scored a touchdown in the Super Bowl. I mean, to me, that's what separated them was – they had ability to put points on the board when their defense was on the field. That's pretty unique, and that makes you pretty tough to beat.
Similarities between that defense and this defense we're about ready to watch this year, any?
You know, I still have to see it from this defense. I was really disappointed with how this group performed when it mattered most, right? So I mentioned that the fact that at the beginning of the year, and it was when they started 0-4, they just were doing nothing defensively. And then there were four games, three of which they lost, but four games where at the end with the game on the line, they let the opposition go right down the field and score. So, you know, they should have beat the Bears. They should have beat the Jaguars. They should have beat the Colts. Those are three wins. They did the same thing against the Raiders in the season finale. The Carr went right down and got a touchdown. It's just John Gruden in a game that didn't mean anything to either team decided, hey, let's go for two. We don't want to go to overtime. And Shelby Harris knocked down the ball. If he doesn't, they lose that game too. That's four games they blew. And I don't care if the offense only scored 15 points. This is a team that's built on their defense. That's where they've spent all their money. That's where their stars are. Their head coach is a defensive guru. They brought in a guy that's, you know, that's his specialty. If the game's in their hands at the end, that's how the blueprint works, and they got to come through. And they didn't. So until I see that this defense can make plays with the game on the line, make plays to help their offense, give them a short field, put some points on the board, those kind of things, I'm not even going to mention them in the same breath as that 2015 defense. I don't even think it's close at this point.
So after remembering what the Broncos did to Cam Newton in that Super Bowl and reducing Cam Newton to rubble, are you relishing the idea of a Broncos-Cam Newton-Patriots game week five?
you know, between that Super Bowl and then the season opener in 2016, they beat him up in that game, too. That might have been the game that actually broke him. You know, I'm kind of taking a wait-and-see attitude with this Cam Newton to the Patriots things. I get it that everybody's saying, hey, they went from a 6-win team to now they're going to win 11. That's because it's the Patriots and you're just expecting it to work out, right, because it always does. And if Cam Newton's the guy he was, I don't know, 2 or 3 years ago, yeah, Belichick pulled a rabbit out of his hat and they're going to be pretty good. And he looks healthy, but, you know, I'm with Mark on these things with, you know, guys looking good when they're working out and they're running around in shorts and, you know, winning the T-shirt Olympics or whatever. I want to see if he can do it when he's on the field and getting hit and all that kind of stuff. I kind of hope he does because I think it's more interesting when there's a team to kind of hate, a team to root against, right? It's kind of like college football is better when Notre Dame is good because it's fun to root against Notre Dame. You know, it'll be more fun if the Patriots are not the laughing stock of the league because they lost Tom Brady. But I just am not 100% convinced that this automatically makes them the best team in the AFC East. I still think the Bills are the team that's going to win that division. But, hey, it makes it a heck of a lot more interesting, which – that's the beauty of the NFL. That's constantly happening. Here we are, what, June 29th, and they're the biggest story again. So I like it from that standpoint. It makes week five a heck of a lot more interesting, that's for sure.
Busy with James Merrilack. Do you find the Nuggets schedule release interesting? Eight games left. Does it really matter where they're seated? There's no home court advantage anymore.
No.
So does it really matter to you what happens in these eight games?
I mean, it doesn't from the standpoint of, you know, hey, they got to be in the top four so they get home court. I think it's about two things. One, it's who their first-round matchup is, right? Like, to me, and I know they split this year with them, but last year they got beat all four times they played Houston. That's just a matchup that seems bad to me. But, you know, go through, and we can go through and look at the eight teams that end up are going to end up making the playoffs. There's going to be a couple of them. It's like, geez, that's not what you want in the first round. And then the other part of it is sort of positioning yourself on the other side of the bracket from the Lakers. So you want to be able to avoid them until the Western Conference Finals, if at all possible. So you're better off being the six than you are being the four or the five, because you want to be on that side that's, to me, you want to be on that side that's with the Clippers most likely and not the Lakers. I'd rather be in the 3-6 matchup playing the 2-7 winner than the 4-5 matchup, which you're going to get the Lakers in the second round. So there's a little bit of that where, you know, not that you're going to try and tank, but again, it's all about positioning. More than it is, hey, we got to be the four because we want to have home court in the first round. That stuff's out the window. So get a good matchup in the first round. So to me, that's avoid Houston. And then dodge the Lakers as long as you can. And I know that doesn't sound right because, you know, you want to have the attitude of, hey, you got to beat everybody anyway. Well, okay, but I'd rather have the Lakers, you know, down the road and give two other teams a shot to knock them off before you have to take your turn.
What does it say about the Nuggets' chances of being an NBA finalist if we're trying to finagle seeding so that we can get a good favorable matchup?
No, I see your point. And you know, if you're a true championship contender, maybe you don't think that way. I just look at it, and to me, that's the strategy involved here. You know, there's the part of me, and I get what you're saying. There's the part of me that just wants to say, hey, line them up. We're good enough. We'll take on anybody. But I still think, you know, let's try and play it as strategic as possible, as smart as possible. And I'm going to avoid LeBron and the guy who's going to get, you know, the friendly whistles as much as possible.
But yeah, it just reminds me of the year that the Broncos started the season 13-0. We lost to the Giants. Then we went down to Miami and lost to Miami in a game where it was just completely as vanilla as possible. And we were waiting because we were the number one seed, waiting to see what playoff teams were going to get. And I just remember the coaching staff going, I hope we get Miami. I hope we get Miami. Like, we weren't like, oh, we're nervous about this team or this team beat us. They were like, we hope to get Miami because we're going to open a can on them. And it was just interesting, the mentality. Well, obviously, we had already won the championship the year before, but the mentality was different. You know, it was just like, we don't care who we line up against, we'll beat them.
It can be dangerous. I mean, in 96, I remember thinking, man, I hope it's Jacksonville. You know, and then that doesn't work out, right? Yeah. So, like, it's a dangerous game to play, but still, avoid the best team for as long as possible. That's my strategy.
All right, James, good stuff. We'll talk to you later in the week. All right.
Thanks, fellas.
James Merrillat from 1043thefan.com, and you mentioned that you were going into Home Depot over the weekend. You saw Drew Locke going in. So we asked our listeners, what do you think Drew Locke was shopping for? And this one was the best of the best. Well, we know he wasn't looking for C-clamps, duct tape, or crazy glue because nothing holds better than bowls.
Holding offense, number 72.
I can't believe I didn't think of that. That's touche. Touche. Dexter. Did Dexter have a name?
No name.
No name.
But at the end of it, he went, hey-o!
Yes. It's a good one. That's a good one.
Coming up, now that he's turned 60, what's driving John Elway? That's next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.